to expand a new search node, you must construct an entirely new planning graph, which results in an entire set of planning graphs over the search episode. In belief-based planning, an effective source of heuristics is to build a planning graph for every state of the world that you believe you might be in. You can then reason about this entire set of planning graphs simultaneously to derive an informed heuristic for the belief. Now, while sets of planning graphs are useful in these and many other applications, a set of planning graphs has a very serious drawback, and that's simply that a set of planning graphs is computationally inefficient. What I mean by this is simply that multiple planning graphs represent duplicate information about reachability, and thus wasted effort. Path's approach to this problem can be characterized as efficiently reusing previously computed information. We differ in that we compute all the reachability information only once. Now, we achieve this by noting that the reason that we require a set of planning graphs in the first place stems from the inflexibility of a planning graph. A planning graph can only do reachability analysis for a single fixed source state. So if somehow magically a planning graph allowed us to specify multiple possible source states, then we wouldn't need to build a set of graphs. So this, then, is our approach. We generalize the planning graph to permit performing a reachability analysis for many possible source states simultaneously. To put our approach into perspective, consider the general problem faced by the heuristic component of a planner. We must estimate the distance from some state A to a different goal state B for many variations on A and B. As I said, a planning graph requires a fixed source. So the naive planning graph-based solution builds a set of planning graphs in order to answer all of these reachability queries. We improve upon this by generalizing the planning graph to the state-agnostic graph. The state-agnostic graph extends the planning graph by permitting varying source states, as well as inheriting the support for varying goal states. So while the planning graph-based solution only supports estimates concerning a single source at a time, a single state-agnostic graph represents all pairs of solutions. To achieve this generalization, we transform the propagation routine for a planning graph by making it agnostic to whatever its input is. So the state-agnostic graph is not a fully grounded concept. There is a state-agnostic version of every kind of planning graph. In this talk, I'll be discussing three different examples of kinds of state-agnostic graphs. Our work begins with the development of the labeled uncertainty graph. Its purpose is to serve as a basis for heuristics in belief space. We define all of our heuristics as aggregations over sets of classical planning graphs. But of course, this runs into the problem of computational efficiency that I've been discussing. So to address this, we transform the propagation routine for a classical planning graph so that it becomes agnostic to its input, which is state of the world. We use this resulting propagation routine to build label uncertainty graphs inside of our belief-based planner called PON. Since PON performs progression search at each of its search states, which correspond to beliefs, it builds an entirely new labeled uncertainty graph. So again, we have the same problem of representing duplicate information about reachability, which we address in the same fashion by transforming the propagation routine for labeled uncertainty graphs into one which is agnostic to belief states. These first two examples of state-agnostic graphs use a completely general technique for transforming propagation routines, which will work for any kind of propagation routine. The propagation routine for a labeled uncertainty graph, however, is not just any random propagation routine. It's one produced by our general technique. This allows us to use a much more specialized technique to achieve belief state-agnosticism. This, of course, has a dramatic performance advantage. So we begin with deriving heuristics in belief states. And I have a problem here drawn from the abstract domain in the paper. The problem the agent is faced with is to transition from this belief, where the agent possesses exactly two of three digits, 1, 3, and 5, to a state where the agent believes that it possesses the letter G. Our fundamental idea for the heuristics is to build a planning graph for each possible case in which there's only three, and I refer to these as the red, blue, and green states, respectively. What the agent can do in this state, in this domain, is to simply increment digits. Additionally, there's a slight modification from the menu in the paper. The last operator at the right end there is O sub G, and this preconditions on 3 and 5 and gives the letter G. So if you were certain that you were in the blue state, there would be only one step to this plan. But we needed the Ravi-Gursky for the whole belief. So we reasoned simultaneously about this set of planning graphs. We extract a conform and relaxed plan by marking the goal simultaneously in all of the graphs, and then backchaining support. And what we're attempting to do is to use the same operator in multiple graphs simultaneously. So when we count operators, we don't count the two duplicates of OG there at the right, which we view as duplicates. The problem that this talk is focused on, however, is not definitely, so don't worry if the details went by a little fast. The problem we're concerned with is that these planning graphs have a lot of redundant structures to them. If you take a look at the entire subgraph coming out of the literal 1 down here in the green state, this is a complete duplicate of the subgraph up here coming out of the red state. We would like to avoid building this structure twice. So we're very highly motivated to have a union representation, which is very computationally easy to build. You can just simply take the union at the first level and propagate the graph normally. The trouble, of course, is that we've lost all the information that allowed us to extract the conform and relaxed plan. We could forcibly extract a normal relaxed plan, but this misses all the structure that we're actually interested in to support the whole belief. To repair this situation, we use our general technique. Our general technique is to introduce labels. So the idea is to start from the red state and sweep over this union graph, marking everything that belongs to the red state. Similarly, we mark everything that belongs to the blue and the green state. With respect to these labels, we can extract the conform and relaxed plan that we want to. We do so simply by marking the goal G, and essentially we mark the support, which is all the cases that we want to extract in. Each one of these colors represents one of the planning graphs I started with in the multiple graph line. So as we backchain support here, we end up with the same heuristic estimate. You might notice that unlike a normal relaxed plan, we need to divide support up for particular literals. So this 3 needs 2 operators to support it, in all of the cases we need to support it in. The reason that this is more efficient to build than the multiple graph representation is that we have an implicit representation of these labels. If we just did this exactly as I just described, there would be no savings over the multiple graph approach. So the idea is to implicitly represent the color dots there using Boolean functions. And we do so by borrowing the technique of binary decision diagrams from the verification community. With this idea, it's easy to work out a label algebra so that we can incrementally construct the graph and get the formulas that we have down here. This is really all you need to know about the details of the Wiedemann-Thirkin graph of how it's constructed. We use it inside of PON, our belief space planner. And we do so by building a separate labeled uncertainty graph for each belief state that we encounter in search. So if we just encounter these 4 beliefs on the search frontier, where this belief is the belief I've been discussing so far in the talk, we could build a separate graph for each one and extract heuristics. Of course, in this talk, I'm not actually interested in what those heuristic values are. My point is that this structure here is massively duplicated, and we really don't want to build multiple labeled uncertainty graphs. Again, we really want to take a union representation, which only represents all of this structure a single time. Naturally, this throws out all the information we need to extract different heuristics for each search state. So we can repair this problem using the same general idea of introducing another set of labels on top of the labels that we already have. So we mark everything in the union graph that belongs to a particular belief, and then for each of the states in that belief, we mark what they are. Similarly, for the rest of the belief and state combinations, we can build up a complex label function. To implicitly represent this, there are several choices for representing the beliefs inside of a Boolean function. The natural choice is to use propositions like S sub R here, which simply means when true, you believe the red state is possible, and when false, you believe the red state is impossible. If you do this choice, the label algebra doesn't change, and you can construct a formula like this automatically. Since this is an implicit representation of the multiple graphs, this is going to benefit from any structure there is in the problem. And it's going to win over the multiple graph approach whenever there's a lot of structure to be exploited. And there is always a lot of structure to be exploited, which leads to our optimization I'll be discussing in a moment. The structure here is that we only need the first column out of all of these complex label functions. If I only have the first column, I can reconstruct the rest of the columns. And this is fairly simple to do. If I need this second column, which is for the red-blue belief, I can take the conjunction of red and blue against the colors in the first column there. And this results in the second column. And that's true for the third and fourth colonists. It's true everywhere they built treaty graphs. So this leads to our optimization, which is to start from the union graph and fix the problem using a much more specialized technique to achieve least agnosticism. The idea is that if we want to extract the heuristic for this belief, then all we need to do is to take the conjunction against all of these labels with red and green. That is, we delete all the blue. Better than deleting all the blue, which requires scanning the whole graph, would be to simply ignore the blue every time we encounter it. This requires a single top-level change to the code which calls the propagation routine for the labeled uncertainty graph. When we go to extract the relaxed plan, we simply mark the goal and only red and green. We don't need to mark blue because we're ignoring it. As we backchain support, we will get exactly the heuristic which we should get for this belief. So to summarize what I've just said here, we've used a single labeled uncertainty graph to represent an entire set of labeled uncertainty graphs for free. So this is a dramatic improvement, something of an exponential nature. Essentially, the largest labeled uncertainty graph you could be interested in represents the entire set of labeled uncertainty graphs you might be interested in. So that's why we affectionately refer to this graph as the SLUG. To demonstrate this dramatic empirical improvement, we have here just a little trend highlighting that on belief-based problems, PoNS is having an increased multiplicative speed-up as the problems are getting harder. And this this level of optimization brings PoNS into competition with state-of-the-art belief-based planners. These come in two varieties. In conformance planning, what we like to say is that PoNS has achieved reasonable domain-independent performance. There are two kinds of domains here, domains which are concerned with reachability and domains which are concerned with knowledge. A planner like CFS does very well on domains where reachability is a large concern, which should not be surprising if you know the history of CFS. On domains where knowledge is very important, CFS is just completely swamped by the number of possibilities. A planner like KCMDP, which uses the heuristic based on cardinality, has no notion of how to get to a goal which is far away. So it describes behavior as lost in domains of reachability. Whereas in domains where you're right on top of the goal but you don't quite know where you are, a cardinality heuristic allows you to localize yourself very well. PoNS planning graph based heuristics achieves middle of the road performance. In contingent planning, there's a lot less to say. PoNS is virtually speaking at the bottom of this graph everywhere. And lastly, I just included a small case of running PoNS on classical problems, which isn't entirely appropriate, but it's simply for the reason that the last optimization I discussed doesn't apply to classical problems. It is not an exponential improvement. So what you're seeing here is just the performance advantage from moving from an explicit representation to an implicit representation. So to conclude our work, we developed the notion of a general state-agnostic graph. And this began chronologically with the development of the labeled uncertainty graph, where we transformed the planning graph to the labeled uncertainty graph. We applied this concept again to transform the labeled uncertainty graph to the state-agnostic plug, where it was easy to see how to get further optimized this for dramatic improvement in belief-based planning. We can clearly demonstrate that, you know, internally this was very positive, and moreover, we can say that PoNS is competitive with state-of-the-art. Lastly, I want to leave ample time for questions, so I'll probably cut myself off here, and thank you all for listening.
Now, the theme of having a single representation which collapses the union of states reminds me of version space approaches. I was wondering if there's something you've thought about with an interesting story or connection between what you're doing and version space planning.
I would love to.
to add something to that. BDDs, one of the nice things they have is a shared BDD representation where, like, every BDD in their package that you're representing for an entire problem can be represented as one graph. And that's kind of the same flavor of what's going on here.
So,
talk to me later about it.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.